Hello there and welcome to the Draft Talk podcast, your one-stop shop for all your draft needs. And when I say draft, of course, I don't mean draft lager, unfortunately. I mean, we could do that. I don't mean the bit of wind that comes under your door. What other draft have we got? Or the American War one, you know, the one that Trump dodged, obviously, before he was making America great again. No, we're talking the NFL draft. There's no dodging that. That's what we are talking, as always. When I say we, it's me, your host, Brian. And of course, I'm joined by these two legends, Stu and Owen. How are you doing, guys?
That was some introduction. I quite enjoyed that one. It was a bit of historical beer, NFL. It's what more could you want when you're tuning in to listen? Yeah, very good draft. As we say this every week, it's getting closer and closer. Yeah, there's loads of stuff still to be sorted out yet. So let's get into it and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, something a bit different today. We've been talking about and almost exclusively about prospects for a few months now, haven't we? So it's good to take maybe a back step from the prospects and thinking, what would teams do? So yeah, so something a bit different and something to get our teeth stuck into.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've done our top fives. Check them out. Of course you have. They're legendary. They're very good. Now, pivoting, as you said, we're pivoting slightly towards the draft itself. Who's picking where? Who's trading? Who's going to move? Who's going to shake? All the drama that's going to unfold. We're going to try and just talk about it, see what happens. We've probably got no idea. But hey, let's have a go anyway. So yeah, we all know how it's going to start. The Bears are going to kick us off. They're probably going to pick a quarterback. I think we all know who he is. And then we'll not go into too much detail, but quarterback two and three, we think, guys?
Yeah. Two definitely. Mm-hmm. Three almost definitely, but is it going to be the team that's picking at three that's going to pick that quarterback at three? I think that's a possible conversation. I can't see anything other than the teams in one and two sticking and picking and quarterback at one and two. The question comes, what do the Patriots want to do?
Yeah.
Are they in a position to pass on a quarterback? Don't know. Are they in a position to draft a quarterback and put them in a good position? I don't know. So it's a tricky one. Well, yeah. Yeah, we probably do know they aren't in a great position, the Patriots, and dropping a brand new quarterback into that. Although they do have someone that they could start on day one and ease them in. Is that where the conversation starts about trades happening?
There's a difference here, I think, between what we think is the correct thing and what they actually will do, which happens so much at the top of the draft when quarterbacks are in conversation, right? Look, could they not go quarterback? Yeah, of course they could, but I think it's very unlikely because going back to something that I don't think I've mentioned this year, but I've mentioned definitely in every other year we've done it, quarterbacks sell tickets, which give owners money. There's no... In New England at the moment, there's not a lot there that's going to make people want to renew their season tickets or buy tickets to go. This is a money league, and quarterbacks is what sells tickets. So for that reason, I can't see how. I mean, the Kraft family has said they're not going to be involved in it, but I still find it very hard to believe that they won't go quarterback. Because, I mean, whether that comes into it or not, it's just another reason for them to go quarterback, because you just
unless that video I saw just before it came on, Tom Brady saying, well, would you come out for the 49ers? And he threw Patriots in there really quickly. I can't see it happening either, but
that guy just needs to stop doing podcasts. He gets the same thing and he's like, I just need to say some words, and whatever he says is going to make the internet anyway, right?
Yeah, I think he gets like $35 million a year to do TV if he ever wants to start something insane.
You also have to remember he's trying to be a part owner of a team, which very much prevents you from playing in the league.
Yeah, well, that's
that doesn't matter though. I'm Tom Brady. We can just change it.
Yeah. So
the answer is yes, yes, no, maybe. We believe that the New England Patriots will draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's tough, isn't it? Because you don't know how good you're going to. You hope you're going to be a bit better next year. So in which case you're not going to be picking at three. So if there's a good group of quarterbacks, you're sort of out of the range. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Aren't you? But anyway,
the ideal scenario is you trade back, get a load of picks, and make your team better before slotting the quarterback in. But again, teams don't operate that way. Moores should, but don't sell tickets.
Doesn't sell tickets. Well,
don't sell tickets.
There you go.
On a T-shirt.
We could have a lot of T-shirts.
Dive into
Being done after.
Talking of picks, here's a pick that could kick off when we get down to number four. Cardinals. They've got a quarterback. I think they need to sell some tickets, but they might do okay next year. Let's get off tickets. It's not the draft, the ticket podcast. This is where I really think it's going to kick off, guys. What do you reckon?
So last year, didn't we? The Cardinals went from, if I remember rightly, they went from 3 to 12 to 6.
Uh-huh.
Played around the board. So Monty Austin Fort's got form for it, hasn't he? If he thinks he can do a deal and end up with a player that he wants anyway, he's shown he'll do that, because I'm pretty sure if no deal came, he would have picked Paris Johnson anyway last year, or it was certainly within the possibility that's who he was going to pick. So if he can do that and maneuver himself around the board a little bit, I think the Cardinals will be open for business. It just depends on what teams are willing to offer them, and then have they got something else up their sleeve where they could maneuver again. You know, these conversations will probably had a bit of a, if this happens, would you be interested, you know, type thing going on. So if there's something in place, Cardinals are a definite option for moving around.
Yeah, there's always in the draft something that happens that makes you go, yeah, we weren't expecting that. Doesn't matter how, you can spend 50 weeks of the year doing it, but there's always something that happens. And even though we thought Arizona could have got out of it last year, how Monty Austin Fort moved around was certainly unexpected. And he set the precedent now, right? That could he do it again? In my last mock draft, I had him moving back to 11 and then moving up again to 7, because the question is, how much do they like Marvin Harrison? Pretty much is, do you, how, in terms of what is his value to you? So do you, in just playing out the scenario that I did, so you get a choice of you draft Marvin Harrison or you move back, get 2 first round picks and a little bit more, and you can use one of them to go back up and you can get, say, Malik Nabers plus a first round pick. So it really comes down to how good the Arizona Cardinals think Marvin Harrison can be and what the value is compared to everything else. Now, it's a good draft, so for me, I'm more than happy to load up on picks here, and especially for a team like the Cardinals who need more good players and more elite players at that. So I think, well, we know that they're open for business, that they've basically said that in, Monty also said that in press conferences. But every team is open for business at the right price.
I mean, it's a pick we're going to talk about probably a little bit later on. But if I was the Bears and I really liked Marvin Harrison, I would make the phone call. Because the Bears, their general manager and their coach are a little bit on the hot seat. They're picking a quarterback as well. You get the best quarterback and pairing with the best receiver in the draft. It's something I would certainly entertain if I was them, because they do have other wide receivers anyway, you know, that they've brought in. Yeah. You know, get a team like that, and then that's the Cardinals sitting at 9. They don't have to go far to come back up again.
Yes.
Something like that might work for them and might work out for everybody involved. But yeah, there's a lot of teams that could maneuver around into that fourth spot.
They're not going to have to go further than 11, because 11's Minnesota, and they're the ones who currently hold the capital. It's going to take a lot for a team behind Minnesota to think about doing that. And I think Arizona's preference would be to move, but we're only doing it for the right price. And I think Minnesota have the right price. And therefore, the team they have to jump, which is the Chargers at 5, right? there's not going to be much difference in terms of the capital you're going to have to offer between 5 and 4. So I think Arizona would just, you just take the picks. And if I was Minnesota, I'd be calling Arizona instead of the Chargers, because I'm sure the Chargers have been speaking to a lot of teams, and I'm sure because the Vikings have gone early, in terms of collecting capital, that everyone's almost got a deal already in place to do this. And going back to the team we just spoke about before, the Patriots, we all think they're going to take a quarterback, but what they do impacts every single thing we're going to talk about on this podcast. Because if they don't take a quarterback and they take Marvin Harrison, then basically everything we're going to say within the next hour, it doesn't matter. Because it's not going to hurt. Because
4 and 5 are both open for business then, aren't they?
Yeah. Everything changes. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you talk about Minnesota. If they do a deal with Minnesota, they're going to definitely want the 11, and they're probably going to want the first this year as well.
Yeah, so
they've already got 28 or 29 as well.
Yeah, they do.
So they've got plenty of scope to jiggle about coming back up around and moving around that first round board. So it's an option that makes sense for them. If they don't love loads of players in this class, they could go with someone else and get future firsts. But when you're doing that trade late in the day, you don't know what that class is going to look like. You've got a pretty good idea what this class is going to look like for this year now. It's maybe safer taking the picks this year.
Yeah, it is also, I guess, just we don't want to speak about the Cardinals forever, but they already have 7 picks in the top 104 selections in this draft. So if you're collecting picks, there's going to have to be an awful lot of maneuvering about, because there's 11 selections they currently have in the draft, 7 in the top 104. That isn't going to stay that way. Teams very rarely pay that many rookies, so there's going to be a lot of moving about, and that's where the trading up comes into it as well. So I think you feasibly could move back, get a pick next year, and I'm quite happily take the 23 this year as well. So you have 11, 23, 27, and then you've got a package of 35, 66, 71, 90, and 104 all on day two to even come up again.
Busy, 4 picks in the first round, day. I can't remember a team picking that many in the first. I remember 3, but as a team, the Jets were almost, because they picked right at the top around 2 the other year. But I can't remember a team picking 4 times in the first round.
Will we maybe speak about one in a bit? Because the Commanders have 6 in the top 100, as the equivalent to the Cardinals, because they have 6 in the top 100 as well. It's just the 7th for Arizona is just a lot higher up in the 4th round. So it's 104, which is pretty much, it was 3 picks into the 4th round, whereas the Commanders are fairly far back. But that's it's an awful lot of quality draft capital. And there's a load of good players on day two as well this time round. So, but what a position to be in.
It's interesting, because we're looking at the Cardinals, but we're almost not. We're looking at teams, Cardinals, Anchors, and the Chargers. You want to bump them together at 4 and 5. It's like, well, who's going to get up there? And maybe the Vikings don't fancy it, or they think it's a bit too rich. Like you say, it's the game within the game, isn't it? It's like, well, we maybe like, you know,
I always remember that
quarterbacks. But who's going to drop? Where are they going to drop? And then you're sitting and hoping that.
It helps with the negotiation, because you go, well, I'm not giving you 2025 first as well, because the Chargers aren't asking for it.
Mm.
So it does help with the negotiation as well in terms of what you're giving up.
I always remember there was a year, and it was the year that they had, it was Andrew Thomas and all that lot got drafted, and everyone was saying there's going to be loads of trades, and the trade didn't happen until 12, and it was Bucks and someone.
Yeah, flipped. 49ers, they flipped.
49ers, they flipped picks, and it was. I don't think that's going to happen, but you sometimes think there's going to be so much trades, and then you get further down and it doesn't. Unlike last year, where it was like, bang, trade pick 3 was traded, so I think we're going to see a bit of action around about that 4, 5, 6 range.
Yeah, something will happen in 4, 5, 6, I'm certain of it. Just one last thing, I guess, we'd touch on here with the Cardinals in terms of 4. That would mean, if they traded out, that we're almost certain that quarterbacks will go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
We've thought that before and it hasn't happened. It's never happened. So although it will happen eventually, but a caveat going that this hasn't happened before. So maybe not. I'm sure Arizona are very happy either collecting the picks or taking Marvin Harrison Jr. It's a very, very tasty position to be in.
Absolutely. Let's move. We've mentioned the Chargers there as well at 5. Let's move slightly down to, let's go with the Bears at 9. Like you say, it's their second pick, their actual pick. Any idea where they'll go? Or could they, like you say, they could trade up. Could they trade down as well?
Yeah, trading up for me. So they have 4 picks in this draft. 1, yep. 9, 75 in the third and 122 in the fourth. That is it. So when Stu was saying before, could they go up to 4? It's gonna cost, and you're not left with a lot. And this is a good draft. So I think this isn't going to be something that happens probably until they're deep into the clock, because they'll have to see who's available. This isn't something you go in that we're shipping calls. We're going to see. It's going to be kind of a last minute decision, because if someone we really like's there, we're happy picking at 9. But if there's a decent offer on the table, then I would quite like to collect some second and third round picks in this draft if I could.
Yeah, I think if it has to be for them picks in this draft that they want, yeah, if they're going to move, because A, they've got very little picks, but B, are they looking beyond this year at that regime? Because they're like, well, if we're rubbish, who cares what we leave for next regime? I'm not caring if they get loads of draft picks, because we'll be out in our year. So if they want to move, it's got to be for something this year. I wonder is that where somebody who's a bit wants a tackle, wants to jump a bit? I think like you kind of Saints, maybe they have moved around boards before. Could they come up? And it's not a huge drop down from 9 to 14, and it still leaves the Bears a bit open for what they could pick. That's a potential. But yeah, they're probably open for business again. But if they have their guy that they really love is still there, it's tempting to pick them, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, 9's a really interesting spot, because to start with, depending what happens with Minnesota and the quarterbacks, you've got Denver sat behind, you've got Las Vegas sat behind. If they're desperate for a quarterback, then it could be a team trying to jump one of the other teams. And Chicago at 9 is a good spot to do it, because we know they're going to need some extra picks at some point. And it's also interesting because, say, a receiver is falling, and even though Tennessee and Atlanta could be in the wide receiver market, but say at 7, Malik Nabers is there, Romo Odunze is there, which is plausible. Someone who really wants a receiver could go, this is what we think Chicago's going to do. We'll jump them at 9. So I think it's another real pivotal spot. What happened 7, 8, 9 is going to be really important to how this draft plays out, not only because who goes off the board, but there's going to be teams wanting to jump other teams, because of the way that this draft order has fallen, there's lots of teams stacked together who have very similar needs. And so it's who blinks first. And it could be that someone's going to look, if I'm Las Vegas or something, and we go, we've got the green light, we need to go and get a quarterback. And I know Minnesota hasn't moved up, they're at 11. Denver's still at 12. I'm possibly not getting one at that point. So I'm going to have to do something. So that makes 9 very interesting.
Do we see a massive jump like we saw? What it was not last draft, the draft before, when the Lions came up from 30 something to pick the Alabama receiver.
Williams,
yeah, they moved up like 20 spots to get the guy that they wanted for not a massive amount. If there's that kind of offer and they want a lot of capital, you know, do some of those really needy receiver teams like Buffalo, you know, they're not the team that is often, but do they give a chunk and move right up? And then the Bears have got lower, okay, it's much lower down in the first, but then they've got a few day two picks as well to round things out. Again, it's less likely, but, you know, we've seen teams jump 20 spots in one go in the first round before.
Yeah, the difference in talent you're getting at 9 to, in Buffalo's case, 28 is very, very different. Although it's a good class, at 28 you're taking second rounders. You're just getting your choice of second rounders. It's very rarely you get first round grades that run into the late 20s. There's very good players in this draft, and I think teams will be looking to move up. I said it before, I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Commanders, who've got 6 picks in the top 100, decide 9's maybe a bit rich, but at some point in the teams go in, we can make them an offer and we're going to get another elite player as Arizona can. Arizona can stick at 4 and still make this trade because they have that much draft capital, considering they sit at 27 as well. I've never known a draft to have so many ifs and buts. It's always why we love the draft is because you can talk forever about scenarios and you never get to the right one. The discussion is the best bit, right?
And I think this draft, the scenarios, it's almost limitless.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
If someone throws something at you, we're listening to podcasts of people as well. We'll listen to other podcasts and things, and you hear, never thought of that scenario. Oh, that's quite spicy, but I quite like it. And there's loads of things can happen, particularly in this one. There's just, I think, other than Caleb Williams being number one, there's just no consensus on anything at all. Yeah. You can ask 10 different people interested in that and you'll get 10 different top 10 picks.
What you will get is that teams really like the players in this draft. The one thing people will agree on is that I can't remember what it was, but last year we were thinking that there's not a lot of blue chip talent here.
We had about two or three, didn't we?
Yeah, teams really like this class. You're going to get blue chip talent in the late teens, which is why I think you're going to get people moving about and people wanting to get up into that range. But also the added question of going back to what we just said with the Bears, that, look, we're going to need some picks, and it could be how far are we willing to go back is always going to be the question.
Yeah, and there's some teams who don't have to have a draft where they hit a superstar, but they really build out their roster nicely.
Yeah.
And then it's about doing that. Do you want one superstar? Because some teams will. Or do you want 5 or 6, just really solid starters who are going to play for us week in, week out, and we know that position's dealt with for several years. And that might be in some teams thinking, okay, yeah, we can get Malik Nabers, but okay, what are we getting after that? Like, let's get 3 or 4 guys who are really going to, we might not have that elite Nabers, but you might get a day two receiver and some other bits and bobs that's going to fill out your team as well. And I think you can do that in this draft because there is quite a lot of depth at a lot of positions.
Sticking with Chicago there, just again, I know we want to move on here, but they've done a good job at that of surrounding the roster. They've, in terms of free agency, but also in other drafts, that, you know, Tariq Stevenson came on really well in his rookie year at corner. Mm-hmm. So I'm more than happy to draft a corner at 9, but you also don't want to hinder the development that you've already invested in some of these players. That I think for Chicago, they could do with another year of finding out what they have with some of these guys before being in this situation. And that's the beauty of it. Right. There's no way you can only stay and have 4 picks in this draft, but, and 9 seems like the prime opportunity to get really good capital. So that's why the discussion's happening at 9.
Yeah, you need, like I say, you need more than 4, and
who's had 11 picks? 11.
Yeah, you need somewhere. 11. So 7's about ideal, right?
That's why the 7 ranks.
yeah.
They've got something right. Let's continue down a little bit further. I guess we've got a bit of a bunch here. We'll put them together, the Vikings, Broncos, Raiders. You've mentioned they any of them could be jumping around for a quarterback. Any of them could go a different direction. You know, Vikings, like you said, they've sort of showing their hand that they're heading up. Or obviously they can turn around and say, oh no, we just really like the draft class. And but yeah, what do you sort of see happening there? Broncos, we've not really touched on them, but they need a quarterback, don't they? They've given away picks left, right and centre for quarterbacks, for coaches. Don't know if they great moves.
with the Vikings, I think at this point it's going to be something that happens. Like, I think when we saw that trade happen, it was almost felt like something was imminent in terms of a move up. It's we've gone early because we've got an agreement that if we have this capital that we can move up. But the fact it hasn't happened yet makes me think that they're waiting on something, which could be seeing the order, right? That because they're not sure what the Patriots are going to do either. That if the Patriots don't go quarterback, then all of a sudden, well, I don't have to trade up to 4. I can maybe trade up to 9, as we just discussed. So I think that's why Minnesota are holding on. I think they've certainly showed their hand in terms of what they're interested in doing. But at the same time, if it ended up being that a quarterback fell to them, which I think is very unlikely, it means that at 23, you're going to get a very good player. So they've set themselves up nicely to achieve what they want to. Now they just need to wait and see what happens with those first 3 picks before they make the decision, because if they go early, if they go out, we're moving up to 4 when they didn't have to, it means that they've paid slightly over the odds, and that's not really something you want to be doing, even though it wouldn't be the end of the world for them, because they're gonna have to overpay whatever they do, because it's for a quarterback and there's a tax on that. Minnesota's, we know what they're going to do, but it's still intriguing because we're waiting for them to do something and for everything else to fall in place.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen that before as well, when teams have kind of laid the breadcrumbs a little bit of we're just sitting there waiting, and we're going to move when we feel the time is right and get up and get what we want. I guess there'll be feelers out, and I don't know if they'll ever get the answer, but they'll be wanting to find out, right, who the Commanders settled on, who the Patriots settled on, and is our guy going to be there at the 4th pick, or are they definitely taking the guys we don't like, or the guys we do like? Do we have to bounce somewhere now? I think they're just playing that waiting game just to see where things fall. I think they're very, very, very interested in going up for a quarterback, but I think it depends on who they've got their eye on as well, and how that falls. If the guy isn't going to be there, well, they've maybe decided to throw some chips and we think this class is going to be better than next year. Let's get a couple of picks of other players and see what's happening. I don't know. It's just interesting. They're just sitting there. And when they make a move is going to be the interesting point. Do they do it on draft night? I think that's probably when you're going to see it. But if they're getting strong vibes or something, they might just pounce a little bit early.
This is where GM politics comes into it, right? It's you know, I'm going to have a conversation with the Chargers. Oh, you've spoken to the Broncos, have you? Well, guess what? I can offer you more. And I can offer you this year when you know exactly what you're going to get. So there's certainly that's going to come into it. I've got no doubt that the Vikings know what they need to do to get up to almost every spot in that top 10. They've got it written down ready. And the draft just needs to, the first 3 picks need to play out before they make a decision whether it's worth pouncing to 4 or 5. Because I think it needs to be done because of the team sat behind, like you just said, Brian, that you've got the Broncos at 12, who feel like they should be moving up, but they don't have a second round pick. They don't pick again till 76. And then they don't actually own their own pick again until round 5. They've got the Dolphins 4th, the Panthers 5th, and the Jets 5th. So
I feel like they're, particularly with Sean Payton at the helm, if he likes one of the guys in who's not that top 4, he's the kind of guy who could say, I don't give a shit that people don't like, I'll just pick him at 12. You know, a Bo Nix or somebody. It wouldn't surprise me if he did something like that and just went, do you know what? Yeah, he can run my offense. I don't care what everyone else is doing. He can be a guy who's going to facilitate what I want to do. Understands it, plays it. I'll just pick him at 12 then. I don't care if that's not where everyone else thinks he's good. And he's one of the kind of guys who you could just see being that kind of brazen about it. I don't care that I'll just pick him. So I wonder if that's what the game the Broncos are playing, because they don't have enough to move around really, and they've already chucked away so much draft capital to get Sean Payton to have Russell Wilson playing for the Steelers. You know what I mean? They've wasted so much of it. I can't see any way that the Broncos are going to come up to do something.
I much prefer a trade down option here. I much prefer moving back, maybe
and then
to
getting
the late
that player,
teams,
yeah,
early 20s. The problem is you don't know whether you're going to get that player, but I think, would I be happier? I mean, what's it going to cost to go up? Say you have to go up 3 picks to 9. What's it going to cost? It's going to cost you a third, and that means it's the only pick. It's at least going to cost you a third, I would say, because of what everyone else is doing. It means you're not going to. The team's not ready. No, I mean, it's not like we're saying that they're going to challenge if Bo Nix is their quarterback. So I don't like it. I much prefer a trade back and then going. It's quite easy to sit here and say, oh, and get that player when you've already traded back. I mean, if you trade back, you've almost got to have a backup plan to think that possibly won't happen. You know, often see teams trading back and finding the quarterback that they wanted by trading back, but you could feasibly use your third or your fourth on someone like Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler if they're there, and just take a chance on a year or two, because I just don't see how moving up and spending capital again for a quarterback is going to help this roster pretty much, because you put JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix or Michael Penix in this team, they're still not a playoff team. So let's try and use the situation, although it's not great, we're sat at 12, but we can use this advantage being that, look, we'll just load up on good players and we'll try again next year.
Go on, Brian.
I was saying, I think like Stu said, the sort of wild card with the Broncos is Sean Payton, and he's got this aura about him, and even though he couldn't make it work with I forgot his name again, Russell Wilson, although he kind of got a bit better towards it, but anyway, obviously not good enough. Like you say, if there's a quarterback they like there at 12, he takes it, and it's probably is the wrong decision, but it's I'm Sean Payton, I've got a meeting out of the palm of my hand, I want this quarterback, look what I've done before, look what you traded to get me.
Yeah,
you've
already given the roster over to him, haven't you?
By trading him now? That way,
you have no choice. It's a power trip, isn't it? It's the same, I'm sure, that came into with Russell Wilson as well, that, no, I want the power, not him. Who's in control here?
The other thing as well, though, with being Sean Payton there is, he is one of the coaches, I think, because they have given up so much for him and because of his reputation that he has the ability to not take a quarterback this year, because he doesn't have to push it. Because he's not going to get sacked. He's not going to, unless they are 0-17, Sean Payton isn't getting fired at the end of the season. You know, he can build and then think about what does he do moving forward. He's probably going to have to get someone else in, because I can't see them rolling with Jared Stidham as a quarterback. But
you could trade for Ryan Tannehill or something.
Yeah, something like that. Someone who's just going to, you know, get you by a year, because he's not a head coach that has to win now. He has that bit of grace because of who he is and because of the capital they gave up for him. So the moving up thing for me for the Broncos would just be mental if they did it.
Yeah, it's, you do want to give up, what, probably a third to trade up or go and get Bo Nix, or would you rather give like a conditional sixth or something to go and get Ryan Tannehill? And they're probably not going to be that much different in terms of output between the two of them.
There we go. But you never know, guys. We've seen some crazy stuff before.
That's why we do this.
That's why we get all these predictions, like you say, they're all wrong. We sort of touched Raiders, similar sort of situation, obviously a lot more draft capital than the Broncos. Maybe they'll roll with Aiden O'Connell.
Gardner Minshew.
They don't need
to force it. They could be a team who maybe wants to move into the back end of the fifth year option. I really like that. I think that's a really good idea, especially if one of them's there. If Nix or Penix is there, it won't be 32 because you're not trading within division, but at 30 or 31, then I think you're quite happy to, you know, as a team willing to go back from 31 to 44 and pick up a fourth or something. I think you can find a way that works.
Absolutely. Right, let's move down a little bit. Let's go to the Bengals, who had an okay season, but didn't quite make the playoffs. I've got Joe Burrow, got a bit of talent there. What do you think they're going to do? Yeah, ideas.
Are we going to see a trade for a player during the draft night like we did with AJ Brown here with T. Higgins? That's my thoughts immediately with the Bengals, because they haven't made that noises that they're that massively keen on keeping T. Higgins, and they're going to have to spend a shed load of cash on Ja'Marr Chase next year as well. Do they think about, you know, some of these teams are like looking, okay, top three receivers have gone, and they've got a bit of cap space, more cap space this year. Do we spend a first round pick on a Brian Thomas Jr., further down a, I don't know, Troy Franklin, David Leggett, all these kind of names have been thrown about. Or do we actually spend that on T. Higgins and pay him a bit of cash? We saw the Eagles do that with A.J. Brown a couple of years ago. That was my immediate thought. So that might cloud what the Bengals do, as if something like that was going to happen.
Yeah, I think this is why I think this is a crucial spot. Is I think this could go either way. I think it could be like Shu says, if there's some interest, you could maybe move up. If you think, oh, Brock Bowers is falling, we're going to pay T. Higgins and we're going to round this out and just have an all-out attack.
Absolutely not.
Because they have 10 picks in this draft. They have a lot of comp picks. There's a way of doing that because they're not far away. That they can afford, they don't need 10 selections. You can afford to attack the positions that you want to do and draft just really good players. But also, I think it's a spot for moving back, because we think what they might be interested in, tackle feels like it's been around forever. It's probably still a need. Trent Brown they signed, wasn't it? Right tackle. He didn't play that much for the Patriots last year. Would he play 3 games or something daft? So even though he seems like an option now, you think, oh, he doesn't need a tackle. They're still going to need a tackle at some point. Mm-hmm. He's unlikely to see out the whole season, and he's not the answer for next season. But if those tackles have gone, then what do we do? We could go corner, but we could go corner later as well. So there's a way of the Bengals, I think, is another real good point in the draft where not necessarily the pick can change everything, but there could be a point where if I'm the Bills or if I'm the Cowboys, maybe even the Eagles, and think I want to jump some of these teams, Cincinnati could be the point that it's worth moving up to, because we don't really need very much.
I think the thing with those, it's Cincinnati, isn't it? They don't move around. They're not big movers and shakers. And
a very boring franchise, really.
I'm pick 18. Okay, I'm just going to pick the 18th player. You know,
looking forward to picking 18.
Great. Yeah,
and set all arms.
And they do it every year, don't they? You know, they don't move around draft boards a lot, particularly not in the upper rounds. If it was any other team in that position, you'd be going, oh, this is really exciting. They could do everything. The Bengals, you just get the feeling, okay, well, so-and-so has fallen to 18. Okay, oh, he's a good tackle. Yeah, let's just pick him because he's at
top
18.
Of our board, still left. Right, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, there's loads of things that could make it really interesting, because there's loads of things that could happen. I'm just a little bit on the pause because of which team it is.
Yeah, it makes so much sense for them to go up, and it also makes loads of sense for them to go back. The only thing that doesn't make sense for them to go back is that they already have a boatload of picks this year. Mm-hmm. But there's no harm, considering they're good, trying to push something into next year, considering, because especially with 10 picks, and we spoke about before, with 11 picks with Arizona and the like, that you can try and push some of that into next year. That would be helpful. You don't want them, you know, not the higher picks, but you can turn fourths and fifths into whatever into next year's and package up. It's just a spot where I think, you know, if they get to 18, the talent is, it's, there's going to be good players there, which we're more than happy picking, but do we need, we don't really need an edge. We could do with a corner, and I'm probably more than happy picking a corner here, but this is how the needs fall here. It doesn't necessarily line up, I don't think, with what they want to do, but you're right, Shu, maybe it is Brian Thomas Jr. sat there, even though I doubt it. I think he goes much, much higher than this, but say he does, because someone's going to have to be available, that someone goes, that they just go, well, we'll pick him, and maybe we just roll with it for a year and just go all out. I mean, that's pretty tasty, but
that'd be hilarious if they picked Brock Bowers. So wouldn't it? Imagine Burrow just like, I've got Bowers and I've got T. Higgins and I've got Jamar Chase, and we're just going to go absolutely balls to the wall nuts. Let's just win the Super Bowl, because it'll be funny.
Do we think that you say you do that and then you trade T. Higgins to Buffalo, probably?
Yeah.
For a first. And then you use that first on, the thing is, then you've got the,
I don't know, do you, I mean, so much, do you get, I don't really get first for him, because what you say, especially on draft,
on draft,
yeah, I know he's on the franchise tag, but if I'm a team that's got a bit of draft capital and I'm down in that zone where you think, I could get a good back, you get T. Higgins, I really like T. Higgins, and you think, is he worth the money? But yes, let's buy him.
Yeah, and things are so rushed on draft night as well, right? Because this is so dependent on things that think you're going to sort of be so rushed into it. But yeah, even if it's a second, you can still do something, right? You can do that. We'll take Brian Thomas Jr. at 18, and then we'll use our 2 seconds and whatever to go up, back up to whatever, and take a tackle for next year or whatever, depending on how the board falls. I think it's another really intriguing spot of, the draft could change depending on what happens in the range here, because because of the teams behind who may be looking to jump up. You know, we're not going to touch on them, I don't think, but like Pittsburgh, Miami, I don't think Miami would, because they're short on capital as well, but Pittsburgh could be looking to jump up for a tackle. The Rams could as well. They need a tackle. They also need a corner. They also need defensive tackle. There's a lot of spots that are available for Cincinnati to move back.
Carnage, classic Bengals carnage when they sit there.
But it's fun to talk about. That's why we do it, and that's why people listen, because it's fun.
We'll be sitting there all just drinking a tiger beer, watching it happen.
Oh, my brother sent me the list. It's incredible. another team. We'll move on. Another team that's got quite a lot of draft capital. They're in a really nice position considering how well they did last year, is the Green Bay Packers. Down at 25, you know, they're a team, maybe they're just outside of that sort of, depending on how the board goes, that you're a few picks past the first rounders. They've got plenty to move up with, or again, they're a team that could, maybe someone wants to move up to 25 and they'll say, yeah, come, like you say, something like the Bills, something like the Chiefs, maybe they need a receiver. Well, they could need anything. Nice position for the Packers, don't you think?
Yeah, very nice.
As long as nobody mocks Cooper DeJean to the Packers again, I'm fed up of hearing that one. I understand it. I'm just fed up. Let's do something different with the Packers.
Well, it's because of what I was going to touch on there is where the Packers are sat doesn't line up with what their needs are, because their needs are not with important positions. They are safety. They are
linebacker.
Probably linebacker. We could probably do with a running back at some point. Would I be tempted with a corner? Absolutely. We need interior offensive line, was the one that I was trying to fish around for in the back of my head there, but I'm pretty sure we can wait on it. So we're playing out the same situation here as we just did with the Bengals, because it's a really good opportunity here to move back with a team maybe who be wanting to move back up for a quarterback, and we'll do it at a bit of a discounted price because we're trying to thing, and we can go back and we can get a good safety, we can get a good running back, we can get a good linebacker, we can get a good interior offensive line round in the second. The problem is that the Packers also have 11 picks in this draft. And at some point, someone's going to have to draft someone. We can't just continue moving back. But it's an intriguing spot because we've said all that, they need to go back. But for me, because of the capital I have, I'd be going up and I'd be moving up to try and get a tackle because I'm not sold on the tackles at all. It seems to have been kind of forgotten.
They all kind of just, they have a mix of players who just play, they're just offensive linemen. You know, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, you've got the guy, you've got Zach Tom, he can play tackle, but he can play D. Yeah. And you've got Elton Jenkins, he's played wherever, you know, he's moved around all sorts of places. So if they're going to move up, they'll probably go for someone. If they're going to do that, they'll probably pick like Fontenot or Graham Barton, someone who can just do the bloody same because that's what they like. Yeah. But
they're really stripped with their measurables as well, right? Which is what makes Green Bay so tricky because every time you make a pick, you've got to check what they've done in the past and all sorts. There just isn't a lot at 25, even of who we are expecting to be there, who even fits what they draft in offensive linemen. It's Graham Barton and that's it. And I think Graham Barton would be a great pick at 25. But I think we can do more. It's the thing, isn't it, that I'm sure it's just because of what we have. Like, I don't know. I think we're in a position where we can maybe get aggressive, but we could also move back if we want and maybe try and push something into next year. Because I don't really like staying at 25. Basically, is what I'm trying to say. Because I just don't think they're going to get what they want. Cooper DeJean is the pick. If you look at a mock draft, Cooper DeJean would be a pick.
It would be the mock pick, isn't it?
Now, I still don't quite understand how he ever makes it to Green Bay at 25. I'll be honest with you, that he's so good. I think he's a top 10 talent in this class. He's awesome. How he keeps making it to 20. If he stayed injury free, he's never being mocked to Green Bay at 25. He's going much earlier. Probably the latest he's going is like the Rams at 19. So maybe it is we fall in love with Cooper DeJean and we move up because I'm sure the Eagles love Cooper DeJean as well. And maybe we need to get above them. I'm sure Pittsburgh would really like him too, as with the Rams.
Pittsburgh's team, I always think of that fit for him as well. Yeah.
This is where I think it's really good to think, well, we've got all this capital. Why don't we use it? Use it to our advantage, go up and get what we want.
Absolutely. Let's touch on a few more. I mean, we've touched on that. We've mentioned the Bills. Obviously, they've traded away Diggs. They need a bit of receiver help. The way it's, like you say, I think the way the talent lines up, that should match up. They're probably a little bit out from the elite.
Yeah, they are.
Four or five, aren't they? Yeah. If they want someone...
Yeah,
it's good. You know, trading away Diggs doesn't look too bad if you can jump up and get I don't know, you'd be close there, but I don't know how far you'd have to jump actually. But yeah.
You probably at least 15 picks.
Mm.
We've seen it before. We're talking similar trade that Atlanta did to go up and get Julio Jones is what we're basically talking here. In terms of what it's going to cost,
that's if you want one of the first three. Yeah, you're going to have to do that.
I think you'd have to do it to get even four.
You think?
Mm.
I'm not sure.
Not far off. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.
I don't think Brian Thomas is going that high, is he? Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think he goes in the top 15. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he would get past Jacksonville at what 17. And I think Indianapolis would love him at 15. I mean, we're going off piece of it here, but like everyone mocks Brock Bowers to Indianapolis at 15, but that's just not a Chris Ballard thing to do, taking a tight end. We take premium positions and they have to be extremely athletic, and that isn't what Brock Bowers is. Anyway, I'm of the mind that Brian Thomas Jr. does go early because I think the top three go early as well. I think the Julio Jones trade is not going to cost you that much, but you're not. I think we're talking in the same kind of realms. You know, it's going to cost you a first next year, and it's probably going to cost you either a second or a third next year, on top of probably your second this year too. It's going to be very expensive to move up that far because.
And I just wonder, do you want to spend that much on a?
I don't think they can afford to.
Receiver. They've got so much holes in that roster.
Yeah, exactly.
I was hearing something. Yeah, I think they've gutted a lot of the older players. I think they've got three players on the roster who are over 30 now. They've really gutted. You've gutted out that safety tandem that they've had forever. Yeah. Diggs has gone. You know, there's some of their interior defensive linemen have gone. You know, they've had a big shake up in Buffalo. I'm not sure that they're that one elite receiver away. You know, I think they feel further away than they did now. I think they're in that stage. We're going to have to do a look. They've always got Josh Allen. They've got him in that big contract. But I think that it's not a full-scale rebuild. I think they're a bit of refreshing what's going on in Buffalo. And I can't see them just burning all that. If they'd done it 2 years ago, it would make more sense, I think.
Yeah. And I think they could do even more than one receiver as well. I think if they stick at 28, they take a receiver. They've got a second round pick. They don't have a third, but I could see them using. They've got two fourths. I can see them using one of them on a receiver.
Yeah. So who've they got? Who've they got into contract? Khalil Shakir and.
Yeah. Exactly.
Khalil Shakir. I can't remember who else they've got. They don't have a lot.
It has left them in a bit of a hole. Again, it comes down to. Why did they do it at that moment? Could it have? They must have just been so desperate to get him off the roster, right? Because
he must have been such a pain in the ass because they just got rid of him. Just like, we don't care. Just go away.
If you rang the Texans on draft night and said, "We'll offer you Diggs," there's a chance you get the second from this year, right? I don't know. We're just speaking out loud here, aren't we? But or thinking out loud, not speaking out loud is what we do all the time. But I just think. This, I don't know.
Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. Oh, Mac. I can tell you as a Falcons fan, Mac Collins will not move the needle for you.
Well, I played for the Dolphins, so I totally agree. It's great special teams there.
Yeah, you don't want to be relying on that guy. He was absolutely fine, but as someone who only had one receiver, fine doesn't do it anymore. But yeah, so Buffalo should be moving up because A.D. Mitchell, I think would be a great fit there. But again, I would not be shocked if he goes well before this because of this is where the teams who should be moving up, but the teams they should be moving up with don't necessarily have to move down because of the capital they've already got. It's really, really interesting to chat and discuss through this. It's a bit like a counselling session, really, isn't it?
It's therapy.
It's therapy. Yeah, I'm 2 weeks away in the anxieties, so I'm heating up. Buffalo, if they want what they need, it's going to cost them. They're going to have to move up. Whether they do it is another question.
It's like you say, if it's
28 is a long time to wait.
Yeah.
With your fate not in your own hands, knowing that you have to have something to throw to.
And you see that just okay. There's 1, 2, 3 gone. 4.
At some point, the squeaky bum time is going to squeak in. It's going to happen. It's going to go. No, the 4 have gone. And it's only pick 15. What do we do?
And it's
because it could happen.
Yeah, they seem to go in bunches, don't they? You get a bit of a run, you're probably going to get a run and tackle, and especially receiver. It's like, oh, and like you say, a team like the Bills, obviously, someone before them's got to get squeaky, but got to jump up there and off they go.
It could be they hold their nerve that it could pay off, you know. I think if they stick, they're not in the top 4, but because of the depth in the class, the teams could attack other needs. And it could be they do get the 5th one because teams are just like, well, we're just going to take one in the 2nd or we'll take a tackle instead because they're not, the class isn't as good. Could happen, but I'm not sure. I'm sat there for 3 hours in Buffalo thinking, let's go in. It's not them. It's not them.
They're going to sit there with the Will Levis face on, aren't they? The moody face, because nothing's happening their way.
It is not going to be a fun wait.
I'm going to need plenty of them tables to die through, aren't I? video up there.
Be the green room, which would be smash tables everywhere. Buffalo's gone mental.
We're running out of tables. that'll be quick though. I mean, there's a couple of teams at the top of the second round. Obviously, the Panthers haven't got a first round pick. We all know why. I guess they could jump up. You get that extra fifth year option, whether there's someone there they want or
yeah, it's what's their capital? It's non-existent, isn't it?
I think they've got 33 and 39, is it? Yeah, the top of that 65. Round, and then it's kind of
it falls
a bit after 5, that. Yeah. I would, if I was Panthers, I would just stick and tick. But you're going to get two good players at 33 and 39.
Yeah,
and what are their needs? Their needs is a receiver. You're going to get a receiver who's a good fit for their offense at one at either 33 or 39, really.
Yeah, so first pick on day two, you've got plenty of time to think about it. You've got plenty of time to take calls. You can you almost get that first pick.
Yeah, they need just cool heads, really, in Carolina. It's, look, just take your medicine this year and go again when you've got a little bit more capital. It could be that you trade one of these. It could be that you trade 33 or 39. It could be someone, you know, moving up. We saw the Titans did it for Will Levis, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Moved up to the first pick in the second round. It feels like you've already cost yourself a lot by doing the trade. Don't do it again and just take the two good players and go again.
We'll see. David Tepper doesn't seem like a type, though, does he? But well, I don't know.
Oh, he'll be region. I don't have a first round. I've got
throwing drinks everywhere.
He's a boy who bought the house, isn't he? Just because he just wanted to smash it and build another house on top of it. Was it not the guy? Did he not his old boss's house? He bought it and just demolished it to build another house on top. So he could easily go. And I don't want to miss out on the first round. Let's be stupid. But I hope not. I hope for their sake that they're just a bit calmer about it now. Okay, we've got Bryce Young. Let's just think what we're going to do here. Let's not go over the top and be stupid about it.
We shall see. Plenty of situations there, and yeah, none of them will happen. So
we covered ourselves either way. This could happen, but it may or may not. I'm not sure we came up with many answers, but I think
we just throw out enough scenarios that one of them will come right, and we'll just clip that and just put that out on draft night. Yeah. Look, we told you this was going to happen.
Nailed yeah.
We nailed it. Done.
It's the thought process that's more important to you know, as the discussion and just thinking about what these teams could be thinking. I think is more important than being right.
Yeah,
it would be nice.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we love the draft so much, right? You know, you watch it and the stuff you think will happen, the stuff that you don't, and then it's like by the time you've caught your breath and you're like, oh, they've picked it, nice, like it works. And someone's trading for this.
I'm fairly sure nobody thought the Texans were picking 2 and 3 next year. Nobody, I didn't hear that called at all by anybody. So yeah, and that was 3 picks in.
Fun times. Well, guys, we've covered it all there. Not long to wait now. Not long at all. Especially by the time this comes out, it'll be not far off.
Yeah.
Scary. But yeah, thank you for listening to all our random thoughts. We've had a good go there. We shall see what happens. I'm very, very excited. Can't wait now. We're counting down the days, isn't it? It's going to be good. But yeah, I think we've got to sneak in another pod before the draft.
Yeah, mock draft next.
Why not? I do about 4 every day on my phone.
Yeah.
you do another mock draft? Oh, sorry. But yeah,
I think we'll probably get 2 in before the draft. We'll maybe have a mock draft, and then we can maybe have a final thoughts type video before before we have a good drink, because we'll need it.
Sounds like Brian's brother's got it sorted. He's got the list of beers. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, he's absolutely nailed it. Shout out, Jordan. Good work. Well, we'll see. He's got to physically deliver it, but we shall see. It's going to be a tough Friday, but we've got plenty of time to pass. It's okay. But yeah, that's it, guys. That's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for listening. Like you said, we'll be back soon. Take care of yourselves, and thanks for listening.